Amen. Thank you for reading the Bible. And please, if you just put your hand on the page where we've just read from, shall we pray as we start, please? Our Father, we thank you for the grace to be gathered in fellowship again. Lord, we pray that you speak to us. Empty me of myself and use me tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We have just can you hear me, please? Okay, thank you. We've been reading Genesis chapter 26, and it's such a an astounding passage, actually. It's one of the portion of the Bible where Isaac is really the focus. When we go on from here, you see the focus is going to be more on Jacob, but on this is mainly on Isaac. And we can see a lot of similarities between what happened to Abraham and Isaac, the son. So that's why it's kind of titled like Father, Like Son. Honestly, the similarities in pattern of what happened to them, the challenges they had, and their obedience to God, and how God came and always was there to remind them how faithful he is. To be honest, one thing that stands out of this whole passage is how faithful God is, keeping to what he has said. In verse one, there was an earlier famine, similar to what occurred in the days of Abraham, and this led Abraham, if we remember, to go to Egypt. That was in Genesis chapter 12, I think from verse 10 to 20. Abraham later had a similar experience, in Gerar, where the story was amazingly kind of repeated in the life of Isaac, his son, in this present narrative. So the Lord appeared to Isaac for the first time in record, actually, and told Isaac not to go to Egypt the way Abraham did. So in the past, there has been, famine coming up at intervals, and it could be as a result of natural forces, maybe no water and things like that. And sometimes it could be as a result of war, people not able to go to farm the previous year and now having famine. But the cause of this famine was not known, but there was famine. And for some reason, it seemed to be anytime there is famine, the children of Israel always goes to Egypt. And Egypt, in a way, some Bible scholars believe is a representative of the world. When there is hardship, people tend to go to Egypt. People tend to go back to the world to sort things out. But here we see God giving Isaac an instruction: do not go to Egypt, remain in Gerar. And that was a first test. Just as Abraham was tested, Isaac was also tested here, and he obeyed, and Isaac stayed put in Gerar. And God, in verse 4, fulfilled his promise to Abraham concerning Isaac. He established his everlasting covenant with Isaac, just as he had with Abraham. God promised in verse 5, to make Isaac's descendant innumerable as the stars. So sometimes God used the word stars because you can't really count them, the sand, because of his covenant with Abraham. God reiterated that covenant with Isaac. God promised to bless the entire world through Abraham's descendants. You remember previously in Genesis chapter 12 and chapter 22. So we can see, just like the father Abraham, Isaac exhibited tremendous faith in obedience to God. When God asked him to settle in Gerar, he did, and he didn't travel to Egypt. Likewise, we'll see later in verse 35, 25, God tells us that when Isaac went to Beersheba, he built an altar and called upon the name of the Lord, just as Abraham did. Again, we also see a trend, which were part of the challenges that Abraham faced and Isaac faced, very similar challenges as well. As they moved to Gerar, immediately Isaac was really scared that because his wife was beautiful, Rebecca was beautiful, just like Sarah. And Isaac told Rebecca to say to the people that they are sisters, that it's his sister, not the wife. That was exactly what, or similar to what Abraham did. Abraham actually did this twice, once in Egypt and to Pharaoh, and a second time to in Gerar, to the Philistine king, Abimelech. So this time around, in verse 7, we saw that deceitfulness replaying itself. And in verse 8, Isaac literally was seen playing by Abimelech. Abimelech was in his house looking through the window and saw Isaac and Rebekah laughing together. But it was in such a way that he suspected that he wasn't telling him the truth, or he probably hadn't told him the truth. And when he found out, he went to Isaac and confronted him and said, "Why have you done this to us?" Again, we see that this actually happened between Abraham and Sarah, and Abimelech also approached Abraham and told him exactly the same thing. So there is a school of thought that this is exactly the same account that's just shared in two different places, but it's not really true, because Abimelech, just like Pharaoh, Hadad, is just the name given to the king of the Philistines then. So this time around, Abimelech was now like a protector of Isaac and Rebekah, because he called the people and told them that nobody should go near them and nobody should touch Rebekah. So that was in verse 9. We see how he was outraged and vowed to protect them, which he did. Again, you can see that's God's faithfulness, helping to protect Isaac. But another thing that I would quickly like to shed light on here is Isaac knew that there would be a challenge between him and the people because of the beauty of his wife. When that happened to Abraham, Abraham did not seek the face of God concerning that problem. He was afraid. He did what he thought was right, which is human, like many of us would do. And this is exactly what Isaac did as well. But God, anyway, in his infinite mercy, came and sorted things out, either by speaking to the king in the time of Abraham in a dream, or this time causing the king to see for himself that this is his wife and not the sister. God's special work for Abraham was extended to the son, Isaac. the Lord blessed him so much that he became very prosperous. He sowed in that land, as we read, and he received a thousandfold. God blessed the seed that he sowed. It became so prosperous that even the Philistines, his neighbor, envied him. In verse 15, we remember that previously Abraham had made a covenant with Abimelech concerning the rights to well. We see that coming again in this verse. But there was this enmity between Abraham and the people in the land, of course, because of jealousy, that led to an act of sabotage where they had to cover some of those old wells. Although Isaac moved from Gerar, he did not really move far away from the area. He kind of settled around the coast. Now, each time, like we know, God really blessed Isaac, like he had promised to bless Abraham. That blessing was extended to Isaac. And we see that Isaac had lots of servants, herds, and a flock. And as a result of that, he would always need water. And that was why they always dug well. And each time a well is dug, you see the Philistines come around to say, oh, that's our well. Probably because it's their land. They try to claim ownership to the well. But what happens, Isaac would always move and dig another well. In some cases, it's actually like a redigging of the previous well, which Abraham dug, which the father dug, and they rename. And sometimes you see that he renames the well exactly how Abraham did before. This is like walking, you know, in still part of the covenant, in the covenant of Abraham. Isaac moved out of Gerar when the famine was coming to an end because there was more water available, and he returned back to Beersheba, as we read in verse 19. But God was faithful. He promised to the son what he had already promised to the father. This passage repeats the Abrahamic covenant, as we read. Now, Isaac followed the practice of his father. He made an altar and called on the name of the Lord. Isaac not only prayed to the Lord, he also affirmed the reality of the living God. You see, building an altar is a significance of it's a way of acknowledging what God has done for you in the past and giving thanks to him. And it's like an affirmation of your relationship with him and what he's done for you, and putting your hope in him for things he has promised. Abimelech came to end the, as we come down to verse 26, we see that Abimelech came with some of his leaders to end enmity with Isaac. Why did he do this? Because he has seen that the blessing of God is on Isaac. He has seen that God has blessed him. And this is somehow synonymous with what the Bible says about our life, that our life shall shine bright, that others will see God in us and come and give God praises and come to God. I was reading a commentary which says some people will never read the Bible. The only Bible they will ever read is the blessing of God in our life. This is not to say that God is going to bless us with all the material wealth like was seen in the life of Isaac and, of course, Abraham. But it could be how we behave, how we reflect, even in the midst of persecution, in the midst of adversity, how we still have that joy that people may see and see something different in us. When I say us now, I'm actually referring to us as the descendants of Abraham. So this was what happened here, and Abimelech came to end that enmity and he brought also some of his leaders just to be a witness to that. In verse 28, we see that it was God's design. He wanted to bless Abraham's family because Abraham and his family followed him. God's extraordinary blessing on his people would attract others to himself. So the reason God blesses his children is to attract others. Everything points back to himself. The covenant, you know, formally bound both parties. You know that they had like a covenant meal. That covenant meal is of significance in the old age where people come together to eat. It's like a celebration of God's covenant with people, of people coming together to know God. If we look at the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20, when it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, I will come into him and I will eat with him. So is this sort of meal, this that, you know, the is kind of being reflected in the Old Testament. So it's actually a meal of people coming to know God, believers coming together. So if I just look through, you know, a few similarities of what really happened, just to recap between Abraham and Isaac, as I draw this to a close, we see at the beginning, like his father, Abraham, Isaac exhibited tremendous faith in obedience to God. When God asked Isaac to settle in Gerar, that was seeing how he obeyed and didn't go to Egypt. You know, like we saw that Isaac built altars just as Abraham did. This was a form of worship by remembering God's faithfulness in the past. Calling on his name was a way of relying upon him in the present and also seeking his guidance for the future. It's interesting to also see that, like his father before him, Isaac trusted God's promises and centered his life on God's word. Also, like Abraham, Isaac had gracious dealing with Abimelech and the leaders of the Philistines. Even these pagans, you see, recognized that the Lord was with Isaac, just as he had been with Abraham. And they were able to renegotiate a peace treaty. So we have seen how Abraham and Isaac had a lot of godly heritage that were handed over to him from Abraham. But why is God really doing this? Why is all of this, like I said at the beginning, like one thing that quickly stands out as I study and went through this is God's faithfulness, his commitment to what the promises that he had made to Abraham. Why is God so committed to it? even when there seem to be some little circumstances or situations where either Isaac or Abraham were not really doing what you expect of someone who has had such an encounter with God. But God was still committed and always came. It was because they had a very important part to play in the ultimate salvation plan, part of which we are today, through whom we will see later Jacob will come into the equation, and of course Jesus will later come. Through Jesus, we are part of this great family of God, and we are now part of this covenant. So the Lord was always with Isaac as he was with Abraham. God's promises gave we also see how God blessed Isaac with the same material blessings that he had given to Abraham. In verse 12 and 14, like we saw that God really blessed everything that Isaac put on the land and he became rich. The Lord bestowed on Isaac, like he did on Abraham, not only material things, but spiritual blessings as well. And after Isaac successfully negotiated with Abimelech, he regained the well that Abraham had dug and further entrenched the claim in the promised land. Thus, all blessings and all covenants that God gave to Abraham was passed on to Isaac. So the Lord was always with Isaac as he was with Abraham. Because this was God's design. He wanted to bless Abraham's family. Because, of course, Abraham's family followed God. You see, even when Abraham was, like, in the very last two chapters, I'm just going to read from verse 30 down. The same day, Isaac's servants came and told him about the well they had dug and said to him, "We have found waters." He called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba today. At every time, what is the significance of the water, which exactly Abraham's servant dug a lot of wells and also found water? Same also, Isaac's servants dug well and found water. That water is a representation of God's blessing, you know, in the desert where there is no waters, like, you know, most of the Middle East, water is something to celebrate and is a sign of God's provision, that God was always there with them. Now, how does this point back to us today, and of course to Jesus, who is the ultimate salvation? Jesus is God's promise to us, and God promised Abraham that he is going to bless the nation through him, and this promise is seen in the life of Isaac. The very last verse here talked about Esau, who was 40 years old and took Judith, the daughter of Peril, the Hittite, to be his wife. and Basemath, the daughter of Elion. Anyway, as we will read further as we go down this series, Isaac will be blessed with two children, Esau and Jacob. We will see that Esau is going to get married to people who did not really know God. But what this actually shows is Esau was someone that actually followed his own ways rather than following God, which was the way his family followed. And the last verse said that the wife of Esau made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. Shall bow heads to pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you speak to us more as we go down this series. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.